Inasmuch as there were three speakers chosen for today, and inasmuch as this is a very special day and is being celebrated throughout our land, I thought perhaps somebody might choose the subject of mother. And I didn't. And I noticed this morning our brother didn't. And I asked my brother Marvin, and he said not in particular, he hadn't. And not in particular, I didn't. And I didn't for one reason. But I thought perhaps some of the three might do that, and it would be a shame if you get two Mother's Day sermons. Yeah, I don't believe the mothers could stand this. But I would like to just say a few words before we go into the sermon proper. I'm not going to preach a Mother's Day sermon, but I would like to stay. And to me, it is a difficult subject because of the emotion that comes to me when I think of the attributes that were within my mother. The attributes for good and for kindness and those qualities that was necessary to bring into being a family and teach them after the ways of righteousness. So I just merely make a few short remarks and say that today I find joy and pleasure in the memory of my mother. And I hope you who are here today who have lost their mothers also find pleasure in the memory of her. And I'm sure you will. But above all, I would say to you young people who still have your mothers, cherish her while you have a chance. I don't know whether you're accustomed to using the word love or not. Many people are not, but they better practice it more. It does marvelous things. Don't neglect to tell your mother you love her. I not only find joy in the pleasure of the memory of my mother, but I find extreme joy and happiness in the presence of the mother of my children. You know, man has been made, according to the scripture, a little lower than the angels. This being so, God certainly must have thought an awful lot about mothers when he created them. For he placed the Son of the living God in the arms of an earthly mother. And I think the reason he did so is because he gave to mother something special as well. You know, our brother this morning read in the fifth chapter of Galatians, right along the last of the sermon, about the fruits of the Spirit. For the fruits of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. I believe that in most of you can see these qualities in your mother. And if this be true, don't you know, God just put a little bit of the divine in her. But in the day we live, in which we live, we have wandered so far from God that many children today only enjoy, or perhaps it isn't an enjoyment, maybe they only have a female mother and a male father, and not endowed perhaps with these qualities that we have read. What a shame and what a pity. And I would say to the young mothers here present, think upon what I've just said. And do not do not be just a female mother, but work upon the fruits of the Spirit. Gain them as a part of your character. There is a scripture that I could read, and I believe I will. I can locate it here. I didn't mark it down. You don't see it. Yes, here it is. I would like to read this scripture because it pays a greater tribute to woman and motherhood than I can pay. Our brother Gary Houston read it last Sunday at our prayer service, and almost every Mother's Day sermon, sooner or later, someone will read this. And it's found in Proverbs, the 31st chapter, and the beginning of the 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to the household and a portion to her maidens. I'm going to skip some for brevity because I have a lot of other things I'd like to bring to you. I'm going to go on to the last of this. She is not afraid of the snow, for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. You know, this kind of, I don't know how well I'm known, but I'll tell you this much. I'd be a different looking sort of fella if it wasn't for her watching me dress and taking care of a little this and a little that, and telling me this not right, that tie's not the right, doesn't go with that suit and so forth. And I still don't think I make a very good spectacle as far as that's concerned, but she's done the best she could with me. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou exceedest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Pay very close attention to the last verse. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. I think that's all I have to say at the moment in regards to mothers. But I love you each and every one. And Christ has given us a scripture that lets us know that in the gospel of Christ, all mothers are mine. In the family of Christ, and all mothers are yours. Now I would like to go into the sermon proper. But I would like to read first, I'm going to kind of continue with Tony's sermon. You know, I really believe with all my heart, I've seen it happen so many times, where there's one or two or more services or sermons in a day, almost invariably we find they're connected. And I don't think this is by happenstance, I don't think it's an accident. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the influence of that Spirit was spoken of this morning, the Holy Ghost has a great power, and it directs the minds, even before the elders come to the service, to choose the subject and subjects that will correlate and will bring the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the souls of men. Yes, I believe it. And therefore, I thought of a scripture this morning as our brother was speaking. And I've read it many times before. Some of you have heard me read it. I've preached about it. I'm going to do it again. I hadn't thought about this particular scripture reading until my brother was preaching. But this gives us another beautiful insight to what the power of the Holy Ghost, what it really means to the children of men. Without it, we have nothing. Without it, you wouldn't even have the scripture. So I'm going to read from the first chapter of 2 Peter. And I would like to start to read about the 16th verse. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Here's Peter preaching to the people. But when we made known unto you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Here is an eyewitness, a man that saw the coming of the Lord and Master, a man that heard him speak and profound the gospel. And yet, he says, we've got something even more sure than this eyewitness. And we have. And I hold a book of prophecy. I hold the book of the law that came into being by the power and might of the Holy Ghost that was spoken on this morning. We have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well. Notice, whereunto you do well. You take heed as unto a light. That shineth in dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, many times as I read that years ago, I used to think, well, you can't put your private interpretation upon it. But that is what it's talking about here. It's true, we can't put something, an interpretation that doesn't apply. That's true, we shouldn't. But it goes on. What it's talking about here, that when these prophecies came into being, it wasn't a private interpretation of the individual who gave it. It wasn't out of his mind. But there was something greater. Now listen to this last verse. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, not by his own mind, not by his own intention. But how did it come? But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. There's the power of the Holy Ghost. It has brought into being records. It has brought into being books by which man has been able to understand the law. Who could understand, by which they could understand the plan of salvation, of which Paul said, I'm not ashamed, for it's the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God that comes through the might of that Spirit we call the Holy Ghost, of which we have a right to have had, and I think we do have, as a gift to lead us, as our brothers pointed up, into all truth. And this is my desire today, that we might delve into the scriptures, that we might go back into the prophecies that was given through holy men of old, as they were moved by the power of the Holy Ghost for your edification and for mine. Why the scripture even says to deny the Christ, you deny the prophets. And what? Who are the prophets? Those who were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost, as they brought in those things that were not their own private interpretation, but were from that God in heaven who has created the universe and who has placed man here upon this, in this world, that man might work out his own destiny. So, with that scripture, I would like to turn to Isaiah. And I'm going to do a lot of reading today. You know, a lot of times I get up and just do a lot of palaver, talking, giving you points and stuff, but I think to be interpreted. I'm going to read some scriptures. And I'm going to let you be the judge in a lot of these things. But I'd like to read Isaiah, the 46th chapter, and 4th to the 10th verses. To whom will you liken me? This is God speaking, of course. To a man, to the Holy Ghost. And make me equal and compare me that we may be like. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he make it to God. They fall down. Yea, they worship. You know, we're not living really in the days now of where, that is in this country. I don't know about some of the other countries. I haven't been too many places in the world, been few. But we're not actually worshiping gold and calves as such. We're not worshiping some idol that's been built for the hands of man and set up here on the wall, and we bow down and we worship and we pray to something that can't move and can't hear. We're not doing that. But we are worshiping gold, we are worshiping silver, and we are worshiping the Almighty Dollar. And I heard a young man raised in a Christian home, raised in a home of the Church of Christ. I didn't hear this, I just heard of it just recently. He has become quite well, quite successful, worldly. And so he tells his brother, what do I need of God? Do I need God? No, I'm doing all right. I don't need God. In other words, he has decided there is no God other than the Almighty Dollar. And he is blind, he's hungry, he's naked, and he's wretched, says the scripture. But he don't know it. But he'll have a terrible awakening in one occasion. To whom will you like me now? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. They fall down and they worship him. They bear him upon their shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. And he standeth from his place, shall he not remove? Yea, one shall cry unto him. Yea, yet can he not answer nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this and show yourselves men. Remember the idol of the monetary dollar, too. And don't let it become God. All we need it. And we must work for it. But we must seek first. In other words, it shall not become our God. And the story that I want to bring to your attention just shortly about the Book of Mormon story of those people that left Jerusalem because the Lord told them it was going to be destroyed by the power of the Holy Ghost. He gave them the information, and he told them, and they left Jerusalem, and they came over to this country, and we have the story that they became. They lived in a society for almost 200 years, perfect society. And it was said of them, surely there could not be a happy people created by the hand of God. And it says, and they became rich. They became prosperous under the prosperity of Jesus Christ. Marvelous. We don't have to be paupers. We don't have to be poor. But God intends us to be rich spiritually. And he who has eternal life, according to the Book of Commandments, is rich. And the beautiful part of this richness, it can come to paupers as far as the standard of the world is concerned. Show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. And there is none else. I am God, and there is none else. Declaring, this is what I want to emphasize, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient time, the things that are not yet done, oh yes, from ancient time, the things that are not yet done. And that's one of the things I want to bring to our attention today. Some of the things that are not yet done that are directly you are going to be involved in. And there is a way to be involved and have peace of mind. There is a way to be involved and end up in total destruction, both body and soul. But it is important ahead of time. And it has been written in a book, in books. For you and for me, for our edification, that we might know the way of life. Saying, my counsel, well, I'm going to read that 10th verse clear through without a break. declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient time the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I will do all my pleasure. Now, let us emphasize that declaring the end from the beginning. And how do we know that he has declared the end from the beginning? By the prophets of old. And how did the prophets of old come into this knowledge? Was it their interpretation of what's going to happen and what did happen? Or was it by the power of the Holy Ghost as it moved upon those men, giving them the message for the ages, down through generation after generation, that no man would have a right, or a cause, I should say, to stumble? Yes, we stumble. When we spoke of that in prayer service last Wednesday night, the human race stumbles and they fall. But we find as we study the scriptures, while it is bad to fall, yet the disgrace is not to get up. And just lie there and grovel in the dirt. And as our brother was trying to point out, to let the flesh take over. And the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. It says neither indeed can be. So, the prophets of old that were moved upon, and Christ has instructed them upon many occasions to write these things. I would like to turn us to the Book of Mormon, page 673. I want to rapidly move along. I don't want to run into a time problem any more than I have to. I want to read from 25 to 35th verses. And then I want to continue again right on down to the next chapter, which will be chapter 13 of Nephi, 35. 25 verse to 35. Behold, I have given unto you my gospel. And this is the gospel that I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up on the cross, and after that I had been lifted upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father, to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up, therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And you can go into the scriptures in different places, you'll find, go into Revelation, and you'll find where a man was up before the judgment, and the books were opened. You see? You don't think anything, and you don't say anything, and you don't do anything. But what it is recorded in a book. And the time will come when the Lord will come and ask you the questions about how you've been, and you might lie a little, you might squirm a little, but he'll just lay out a book like that. And there it is. It's all there. Not a thing in the world you can do about it. And what a wonderful thing it would be if it would be pure written word. In our prayer service, pardon me, Brother Cavendish. I went in the evening. Brother Cavendish bore testimony telling of his father. And his father, when he came into contact with the gospel of Jesus Christ, was carried away with ecstasy and embraced the gospel. But he was wondering in his mind, is it true that at baptism that your life is really clean after you come out of the water? That you have a clean page? And from there on will be recorded what you do? Is it true? And he was worried. He was down in his work in an electrical power plant, and he was praying about this question, and he had an open vision. And he was shown clean pages. And he was given to know that what is on those pages after baptism is what you write there. What you put in the book. Brother Tony brought it this morning, the same thing, that it is a new birth. of baptism and the Spirit, of water and the Spirit, and you are clean, you're pure. Well, what are you going to write there thereafter? Oh, we have stubbed our toes. I have made some black marks since baptism. Thank goodness we have an advocate in Jesus Christ who is pleading the cause of the children of men. And there is such a thing as even forgiveness as far as the obvious sins are concerned. I get sidetracked on it. I'm going to read from 25 to 35. And it shall come to pass that whosoever repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled, and if he endureth. Here's what our Tony, Brother Tony brought out this morning too. It's necessary to keep on and keeping on, you see. We're not just done when we get baptized and receive the Holy Ghost, the laying on of hands. That's only the beginning. We must continue to feast upon the words of Christ, having love of God and of all men. Can you do it? Have you done it? Continue, endure to the end. Behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith, and the repentance of all their sins, and their faithfulness unto the end. Now, this is the commandment, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost. Beautiful, isn't it? That you may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily I say unto you, this is my gospel, and you know the things that you must do in my church. For the works which you have seen me do, that shall you also do. For that which you have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if you do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. Now, I'm going to continue into the 13th chapter, a few verses. Write the things which ye have seen and heard, save it be those which are forbidden. Write the works of this people. Now, pay careful attention to the next words. Write the works of this people, which shall be even as hath been written of that which has been. Well, you notice that? Write the things of this people which has already been written. They had the works. They had the gospel written. They had the works of the prophets up to that time in their possession, many of them. And they had the law. And yet Christ gave them these beautiful scriptures to write. Was it only for their good? Let's see. And behold, see. Even that which hath been, of that which hath been. For behold, out of the books which have been written and which shall be written, shall this people be judged, for by them shall their work be known unto me. Speaking of this people, that was all this called at one time. Now, and also the Israel, whole Israelite nation. Now let's go further. And behold, all things are written by the Father. That's the same as saying, and it's not a private interpretation. It's the same as saying that holy men of old were moved upon by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So all things are written by the Father who sends this Spirit. All things are written by the Father. Therefore, out of the books which shall be written, shall the world be judged. out of the book which are written, shall the world be judged. I'd like to turn us to a page 142. Like I said, I'm going to read considerable scripture. But I believe these scriptures as I have lined them up are certainly a sermon. 39 verse 39 to 42 on page 142. Yea, behold, I say unto you that as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven save it be this Jesus Christ, of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. 600 years before Christ, things have been written. Wherefore, for this cause hath the Lord God promised unto me that these things which I write, the Lord God's doing something. He's promised somebody something. The things which he writes, that I write, shall be kept and preserved and handed down unto my seed from generation to generation, that the promise may be fulfilled unto Joseph, that his seed should never perish as long as the earth should stand. Wherefore, these things shall go from generation to generation as long as the earth shall stand, and they shall go according to the will and pleasure of God. And the nations, and I'll get this, they're going to go according to the will and pleasure of God, and the nations, plural, which shall possess them, shall be judged of them according to the works which are written, the words which are written. According to the words which are written. It seems that the Lord always has the necessary words of life written in a book. I'd like to turn this down to the beginning of the Book of Mormon, as far back or in the early part, page 2, right at the start, isn't it? And here I want to read 3 to 14. And here is Lehi, and he's being warned. For it came to pass that in the commencement of the first year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, my father Lehi, having dwelt in Jerusalem in all his days, and in the same year there came many prophets. Many prophets. And how did they come, and how did they prophesy? And was it their interpretation of what was going to happen, or was it the Holy Ghost giving them the information directly from the portals of God Almighty? And many prophets prophesying unto the people that they must repent, or the great city Jerusalem must be destroyed. Wherefore it came to pass that my father Lehi, as he went forth, prayed, and the Lord, yea, even with all his, unto the Lord, yea, even with all his heart, in behalf of his people. It came to pass, as he prayed unto the Lord, there came a pillar of fire and dwelt upon a rock before him, and he saw and heard much. And because of these things which he saw and heard, he did quake and tremble exceedingly. And it came to pass that he returned to his own house at Jerusalem, and he cast himself on his bed, being overcome with the Spirit and the things which he had seen. Overcome with what? The power of the Holy Ghost. And being thus overcome by the Spirit, with the Spirit, he was carried away in a vision, even that he saw the heavens open. And he thought he saw God sitting upon his throne, surrounded with numerous concourses of angels, in the attitude of singing and praising their God. And it came to pass that he saw one descending out of the midst of heaven, and he beheld that his luster was above that of the Son of the New Day, Jesus Christ. The luster beyond that of the New Day. And also saw 12 others following him, and their brightness did exceed that of the stars in the firmament, and they came down and went forth upon the face of the earth. Oh, we know this beautiful story. And the first came and stood before my father. Now the first came, which was Christ, first one he had seen, came and stood before my father, before Lehi, and he gave unto him a book. He gave unto Lehi a book, and bade him read, that he should read. And it came to pass that as he read, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And he read, saying, now he's reading the words of God, and he read, saying, woe, woe unto Jerusalem, for I have seen thine abominations. I wonder if there's some woes pronounced today. And I wonder if they're printed in a book. Oh, they are. because the God Almighty looked down through the vista of unborn time and he saw the days of our iniquity and our departure from the master of men and his commandments. Yea, and many things did my father raise to turn in Jerusalem, and it should be destroyed, and the inhabitants thereof, many should perish by the sword, and many should be carried away captive into Babylon. And it came to pass that when my father had read and saw many great and marvelous things, he did exclaim many things unto the Lord, such as, great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God Almighty. Thy throne is in the heavens, high in the heavens, and thy power and thy goodness and mercy is over all inhabitants of the earth. Because thou art merciful, thou wilt not suffer those who come unto thee that they shall perish. And after this manner was the language of my father, and the praising of his God, for his soul did rejoice, and his whole heart was filled, because of the things which he had seen, yea, which the Lord had shown him. And I say to you, brothers and sisters, today, with all the fervence of my soul, we should respond in the same manner. Because of the things that are written in that book, that we might know the future and the destiny of this nation, that we might prepare ourselves, that we might not be destroyed because of the things that are coming, yes, even to this glorious nation. These are written in a book, and they have been written all these thousands of years. And we have treated them lightly. I believe the Lord is influencing the minds of men in this day and age, here and there, this man and that man, with that same Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And he has given to them knowledge and revealing of the times in which we are living. And without going into detail, some of you have heard some of these things from me. Without going into detail, just allow me to declare. I don't intend to try to prove it. Just as Paul did, I hate the God that you eagerly worship him, declare I am indeed. Oh, I couldn't give you the day or the hour or the second. But according to the scriptures and according to the power of the Holy Ghost that has come to me in the still watches of the night, I know that our time is short. Positively short. And there are men and women in this audience who shall live to see the coming of the Master. I believe it. But I could be wrong. Yet I believe it with all my soul. Because of things that I comprehend in the scriptures, and the things that have come to me by the power my brother emphasized as being the Holy Ghost. Oh, I would like to bring to your attention, I thought of this just this morning or last evening. I made a statement just a moment ago that I believe God is revealing to men here and there around the world. They don't necessarily have to be members of the Church of Christ. He is revealing to those men who will not, and who are desirous, and who are worshiping, and who are living a life of service to God Almighty. And here is a young man in Mexico, young Indian fellow. I want to read you something. I came to him in his crude way of writing it to me, and I translated it into English. Being in the country, now this came to me March the 28th, 1978. Being in the country when a deep sleep overcame me, I sought the shade of a beautiful tree. I laid on the ground to sleep, and suddenly there came to me a vision of the Lord Jesus. I believe this because the scripture as brought out this morning by our brother, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Here a little and there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, and here he fulfilling his promises to those who are concerned. I laid on the ground to sleep, and suddenly there came to me a vision of the Lord Jesus, A light descended from the heavens, stronger than the light of the sun. Does this have a range of divinity? It does to me. Stronger than the light of the sun. Didn't we read that a while ago? Almost an identical thought. Slowly it came to the earth. The light turned around or circled around a beautiful forest. Afterwards it made ready to return again to heaven. And as it came upon the site of my travel, it stopped there. Then it ascended to heaven by the same way it had descended. When it arrived in heaven, the angels sang a marvelous hymn. Only the angels of God could sing that hymn. We, the humans, could not sing it. What about Lehi, when he thought he saw God surrounded with numerous concourses of angels singing? Does this bear the mark of divinity? To me it does. And it's not strange that the Lord would pick out a little Indian fella down in the jungles to reveal these things. He's got his purpose. We, the humans, could not sing it. While they sang and praised the light, a voice from the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And I saw a little church. And I'd like to remind you of 672, I believe, in the Book of Mormon, where Christ speaking to the people when they asked him, when he said, what did I should do for you? They asked him, what do we call this church? Or there's such disputation among the people about concerning this matter. And he told them what should be. His church should be called after his name. And so I believe this should be interpreted to be, if the church that he brought into being and that bears his name is properly functioning, it will be given through his ministry and his lay members as well, the voice of angels and the voice of Jesus Christ. Hear ye him. Yes, I believe this. The gospel teaches me that God deals with men like this. While they sang and praised the light, a voice from the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And I saw a little church with a few members who were singing and praising God. And the angels in the heaven were praising God together with the Christians of the Church of Christ. I think God had been disappointed many times. I think he's wept, and the angels have wept rather than to sing when they've seen some of the actions. And I won't say of the Church of Christ, I'll say of the individuals of the Church of Christ, because nations do not come to Christ. Individuals come to Christ. Churches do not come to Christ. Individuals come to Christ. And they compose the church. And if there's enough individuals in the church to come to Christ, then the bride will be made ready. Again, in front of a huge house, I was standing and looking at the setting sun. Here's another one of these experiences. At the setting sun over the mountains with a strong and strange brilliance. Suddenly there emerged under the sun four numbers. The numbers are these, 1997. And below the numbers there were some letters which read N. Upon reading all of this, I awoke. And I'm not going to say that because this man saw the numbers in the sky, 1997, that this is the doomsday. But I do believe that 1997 is in the time of the end. And I'll dare say that when you and I, if we live long enough, reach 1997, we'll know just exactly that this was given from a divine source. So, I'm just going to relate a little story. We know the story that I started to tell here about Lehi and Nephi leaving Jerusalem because the Holy Ghost had given them great information. and they were men of God, and they moved, and they crossed the ocean, and they came over here, and they lived in a society of whom it was said, surely the Lord God could have created a happier people on the face of the earth, and so forth, and Moses. And then we know that on the 201st year or something like that, about the fact, there began to be a dissension among the people, and they began to have pride crop out and begin to wear fine apparel, and no longer did they have all things common among them, and that soon there were many churches built up in the land. Many churches built up in the land who did not accept all of the truth. There's another place in the Book of Mormon, and I was going to turn to that, but we're going to go to a different lady, where it states that the problem of the Gentiles is that they have too many churches. That's in the Book of Mormon, you know. And speaking of the Gentiles in this nation, they have built up on themselves too many churches to get gain, to grind on the face of the poor, and so forth, and cause dissension. We know that Christ himself, we know that there was a prophet, put it that way, for a moment I've lost it, that in the Book of Mormon, that within 400 years of the time that they started this great society, they would be destroyed. The Nephites would be destroyed, save a few. And those who descended over to the Lamanites and so forth, and a few that would be pursued and killed. And we know that why it was done. It was said because they would depart from the gospel of Christ, or the light, such a great light. They would sin such a great light, against such a great light that they had. And so it said that when they do this, that they will take this great light from them, the fullness of the gospel. And we go into the Book of Mormon and find the same thing, where it said that the Gentiles, when they ripen in iniquity, the fullness of the gospel would be taken from them. And so we see, I'm going to, even if I have to go a few minutes over time, I'm going to keep it too long. I'm going to turn to page 660. I don't want to miss some of this. I don't want you to miss it. Even though you might be accusing me of all kinds of things already. I don't know. 64 to 66 on page 660. We'll read 64 to 66. The Father having raised me up unto you first and sent me to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities, and this because you are the children of the covenant, and after that ye were blessed, then fulfilleth the Father the covenant which he made unto with Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed, and pouring out of the Holy Ghost to me upon the Gentiles, which blessing upon the Gentiles shall make them mighty above all unto the scattering of my people, O house of Israel. Notice this was written a good many years back, wasn't it? More than the 1800s, you see. More than 1776, too, you see. But it said that they would scatter the people that were on this continent. We know this happened. Now why won't we believe it? And why won't the world believe it? Well, when we find it was prophesied so many years ahead of time. And who could do it other than the power of the Holy Ghost? And said, they shall scatter my people of house of Israel, and they shall be a scourge unto the people of this land. Nevertheless, when they shall have received the fullness of my gospel, then, speaking of us, now directly to us of this day, and it was written for our understanding many, 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 many hundreds of years before our time. Nevertheless, when they shall sin, shall have received the fullness of my gospel, then if they shall harden their hearts against me, I will return their iniquities upon their heads, saith the Father. If our iniquities are going to be returned upon our heads as a nation, we've just got an awful lot to bear on our heads, because the iniquities of this nation are almost full in ripening to total destruction. I don't know whether you believe that or not. But it goes ahead and describes butters and plunders and all of this type of thing and secret combination. That's exactly what we got. And not only the secret combinations are not only this little secret combinations of people in little villages and little clubs. Secret combinations in the highest offices in this land. And it's told in that book. And we should praise God and sing his praises, the same as Lehi did, that we'd have the privilege that it would come in such a miraculous way by the power of God according to his will from generation to generation, long as the earth shall stand. That's the promise. Now, I want to turn us to 44, page 44. And here we find one verse. Verse 16. And now the thing which our Father means concerning the grafting of the natural branches to the fullness of the Gentiles is that in the latter days, when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations, after Messiah shall be manifested in the body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and the Gentiles from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. So I think we've proven the point of, if you believe the book, I believe it with all my heart. I think we've proven the point that the fullness of the gospel did come to the Gentiles. It has been, let's see, I've got it written down there, 600 years, I'm not going to read it, but I won't tell you about it. On page 34, it tells about Columbus. Do you believe it? It don't call him by name, but it says there was a man separated by many waters from the land of promise, and he was wrought upon by the hand of God, by the Spirit of God, and that he went out upon the many waters, and he went to the land of promise, and there were many Gentiles came after him, and the mother Gentile nation came to war against him by land and by sea. Why did you know happening in the history of the world, it'll fill the bill, except this, you know, United States, when our people were Minutemen and fired the shot heard around the world, and they came here, and when the British nation, after they declared their independence here, the British nation sent warships and they had land troops here on this land. And so you remember the story in our history books about the old church tower in the North Church, and they put up a light, one by land and two by sea. It's all here. It don't literally mention the lights in the church tower, but it mentions the mother Gentile nation come to war, and it said because of the righteousness of this people and the book that they had among them, and the way they conducted themselves, that they were delivered from the power and the might and the bondage of all other nations. And the brother of Jared was given a promise that as long as this land should stand, that anybody should possess this land, that he would obey and be obedient to the king of the land, who is Jesus Christ, or they should be utterly destroyed when they were ripened in iniquity. Yes, we have a book that was written about our day, telling us what to do, how to act. And as a nation, we haven't done it. So it behooves us as a church to do it. As a church to do it. Oh, I want to get down to the end of this and see how we're going to do it. I really made this short. You know, I usually have notes 2 or 3 pages. Look, I shortened it up. Bear with me just a few minutes. You don't need to say so, you might hurt my feelings. It don't make sense anything. I'm going to turn to page 717. And here I want to read the 29th and to the 35th verses. And the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even unto the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands which the Lord God had preserved for a righteous people. And he had sworn in his wrath to the brother of Jared that whoso should possess this land of promise from that time henceforth and forever should serve him, the true God, only true God, or they should be swept off when the fullness of his wrath had come upon them. Now that was for our learning, but it had been printed and recorded on golden plates up until 1829. Now here, we can read it to the nation. But did the nation accept it? The nation has turned it down. And remember, the nation that shall possess it will be governed, judged according to the words that are written. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land that is the land of promise. Whatsoever nation shall possess, shall serve God, and they shall be swept off in the fullness of the wrath. The wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands, wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, and or shall be swept off, for it is the everlasting decree of God. And there's more. This nation is just 203 years old. Remember the nation that lived in that perfect society I'm telling you about? At the 201st year, they begin to break apart. Well, we haven't made it quite 203 years without starting to break apart. We've been breaking apart for quite a little while. The fullness of the gospel was given into this nation 149 years ago. In that time, we've departed a long ways from God. This nation was only 54 years old when the fullness of the gospel came forth. And this book was miraculously through the power of God given into our hands. But I want to make this remark. Though the nations of the world may depart, yet salvation is a personal thing. I'd like to turn it to 123. I believe that was read this morning. It was real classic. You notice how the two sermons are speaking about the same thing. The Holy Ghost and His power and what it means to the children of men. 123. I'll get to it in a moment. 12. Then said I, woe is unto me, for I am undone. Did you read that? I don't believe you did. Because I am a man of unclean lips. You'll find this also in Isaiah. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And I think that's where we stand today. I think many of us, even in the gospel, are men of unclean lips, in that we say those things which we will be held accountable for, every word that are not justifiable in the eyes of God. I don't care what you might say. It might be cleaner than some of the surrounding people, and I hope we are. But let's see here. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. What is it that must touch our lips? Oh, we must have said this morning, speak with the tongues of angels. Feast upon the words of Christ. Speak only those things. And then the coal that has been taken from the hearth with the tongues and laid upon our lips will purge our sins away. And I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. Send me. Ah, this is the duty. This is the duty of the Church of Christ. This is our privilege. Here we are, send us. And so what does Isaiah see? And yet living in a day, looking down through unborn time to our time, living in a day of turmoil. And so the Church of Christ, let's say, goes out into the world. We're not going to set the world on fire. You're not going to make millions and thousands, hundreds of thousands of converts. You're not going to become a big church. You're just not going to do it. It's not in the cards. But nevertheless, this is no excuse to sit down and fold our hands and say we won't do anything because we're just destined to be a little church. That's what the scripture here says we're going to be. But we'll have possession. A peace ball. Here am I, send me. So what if the church says, here we are, send us? He said, go. And tell this people, hear ye indeed, but they understood not. You get it? We're living in a time when men will not endure sound doctrine. Hear ye indeed, but they understood not. And see ye indeed, but they perceived not. Make the heart of this people fat. And make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and be converted and be saved. Then said I, Lord, how long? How long will the people be heavy of ear? How long will it be that they'll refuse to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ? And he said, until the cities be wasted and without inhabitants. Oh, what a thing. Until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, for there shall be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Oh, well, some people say that won't happen in the United States. I want to read one verse on page 665. And it's going to be the 11th verse. Here again. Sing. Enlarge the place of thy tent. This is speaking to, oh, let's go up a little bit. Let's see. They shall go out from all nations. This is speaking of the unmarried. That's how it is put it. Then shall the work commence. Then follow among all nations in preparing the way whereby these people may be gathered at home to the land of their inheritance. So forth. So we're certainly in that period of time. So I'm going to skip some, but I'm going to skip that one verse. Was it 11? Yes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. That's speaking of the people that are going to swarm over. They don't necessarily have to be righteous people at the time, but they're going to swarm over this nation and other nations. And notice over here it says how long until the cities are utterly wasted and the houses without inhabitations and the cities without inhabitations. And so here we say, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left hand, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities be inhabited. Do you believe it? I do. And there are people in this audience who live to see it. I'm convinced of it. So, get down to the end. There's so much that I would like to bring to your attention. I'm going to read in page 317. Well, I got 217, so I'll have to keep turning them. Yea, even woe unto all ye workers of iniquity. Repent, repent, for the Lord God hath spoken it. Behold, he sendeth an invitation. You see, I made a mention of the fact that nations don't come to God. People come to God. Behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men as individuals. For the arms of mercy are extended toward them, and he saith, repent, and I will receive you. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and ye shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, ye shall eat and drink of the bread and the waters of life freely. Going back to that scripture that I read on page 2, I'm just going to read two verses, but they're going to be separated verses. I want to read number 10 and number 13. And the first came and stood before my father, this was Christ, standing before Levi, and gave unto him a book, and bade him that he should read. Now verse 13. And it came to pass that when my father had read and saw many great and marvelous things, he did exclaim, many things of the Lord, such as great and marvelous are the works, O Lord God Almighty. Thy throne is high in the heavens, and thy power and goodness and mercy over all inhabitants of the earth. Because thou art merciful, thou wilt not suffer those who come unto thee, but they shall perish. And as he gave unto the hands of Lehi a book and said, read, so you'll know about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. He's given unto us a book, and we are instructed to read, so we will know the destiny not only of this nation but of all nations, and the destiny of the people of Christ who will be obedient to the Lamb.